But up here, it's hot. Amen. Some of you putting coats on, I'm like, my Lord, have mercy. They must have thin blood. Amen. But I thank God that we live in such an hour as this. Do you realize we're the most blessed generation in the history of man? You know why? Because we're getting ready to see everything that God promised at the end to see. That's exciting. And it's encouraging tonight to know that we're on the right track. Amen. I thank God for what He's doing. I want you to go with me once again to Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight we are going to pick up where we left off. Don't have to recap because this is a whole new thought of what it's an extension of this morning. Living the new life and part 2. We're going to talk to you about the conversion tonight. Today I preached about the corruption of the old sinful nature that each of us were born with. Amen. We were all born into sin. And if you remember the sinful or corrupted nature, guess what? It's a darkened nature. It's a darkened understanding. It's a dull consciousness that I said this morning, and it's depraved. I want you to look with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4. When you're there, say amen. All right, let's go to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Say that word with me, darkened. Being alienated. Say alienated. From the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Think about that for a moment. It's pretty powerful statements for the man of God to make, isn't it? Amen. Paul's telling us that our lives are to be different. I've shared with you the burden of my heart in 2011. Let the church be the church. Amen. Let us, when people look at us and say, there goes what a real Christian ought to be. Right there. See that person? Or let our reputation be in our city. You know what? That church at Wrightsville Avenue, those folks are trying to live holy and trying to live right and to try to do everything in accordance with Scripture. Amen. Let that be our testimony. Amen. I don't want us to be known as that backbiting church or that two-faced church or that church full of hypocrites. I want us to be known for a church that is real and genuine. Amen. How many of you believe that's our goal tonight? To be closer to God, to be more intimate with God. And as we do that, we're going to see some great things happen. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Paul's trying to get us to see that there are those who are saved or born again are to be different. I think that's essential today. I'm tired of not being able to tell the Christians from the world. It's time we're able to make distinction. Amen. It's time we're able to see a difference, if you please. And one of the issues that Paul brings up is if we say that we belong to Christ by faith, then we have a responsibility to show the world that we're no longer part of this world. In a few weeks, I will be going to Akron, Ohio, the place where I'm from. And I'm going to my 40th class reunion. And out of that 40th class reunion, there's several of us now that are pastors. Some are evangelists. One of the young ladies I went to school with is a missionary in Uruguay. She's been there for over 20 years. I can't even fathom that. I used to tease her because she said she'd never have children. She's got 8. And, you know, I don't know how many grandchildren she's got, but she's got a house full of youngins. But the only time they come back to the States one time a year to come back on furlough to raise more money for them to go back to the mission field and stay there. Tremendous, tremendous ministry. But I begin to think, you know, and I look at her, and I think, you know, she just tells me, it's just like you can just see God in her by her countenance, you know. And that's what I think is important today, that God, as people look at us, they can see Jesus Christ in our lives, that they can key in on there's something being different about us and that we're no longer part of this world. Amen. You know what's happened to the church today? We've been so blessed. I remember when the Church of God was a poor church. Brother Todd, remember those days? Most of our people barely made, you know, a couple dollars a day. And, you know, I can remember my mom working for just dollars a day back in the days up in Ohio. My dad working in the foundry back then didn't make a lot of money. You know, but now, you know, they make a lot more, and we're thankful for that. But there was a time when you thought of Church of God people, you thought, number one, of mountain folk. We began in the mountains of Tennessee and North Carolina, and it kind of spread from there on out. But you always thought of Church of God people as them people being from the other side of the tracks, you know? And they would pick on us, all you're the holy rollers, you know, and stuff like this. And I remember one time T.L. Lowry was doing an interview up in Washington, D.C., and they asked him, they had built the National Church of God there, run over 2,000 members strong, and they asked him in the interview, the guy turned around and spun around at him and says, "Are you a holy roller?" He kind of grinned. He said, "Well, I haven't heard that ignorant term used in a long time, but if you want to call me one, I guess I qualify." And the guy said, "You really rolling the floor?" He says, "Every chance I get." You know, he was proud of being Pentecostal. He was proud of his heritage. You know, I'm proud to be third generation Pentecostal in my family. I'm proud that my son is fourth generation. My grandchildren are fifth generation. I want them to grow up in a church and in an atmosphere where they know God's people are different. Amen. My daughter and them are still looking for a church, and I'm praying that soon they'll find one there in Florida. And I told her, I said, "You need to go back to that other Church of God you went to." And she said, "Well, we're contemplating that." So pray for them, because you know yourself, when you've moved, it's hard when you're trying to find a church home. And not every church that wears the label Christianity around it is going to be Christian. Hey, man, there are churches today that are fighting like dogs and cats in a war for the biggest piece of meat. Amen. And I don't want that to ever see that happen in our church. And you know what? As long as we stay in the Word of God, we're going to stay in that mode to worship Him. So tonight we're going to look at what conversion does for you and what takes place in your life, in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three areas. Number one, write this down. When I'm converted, my relationship with Christ changes. When I got converted, my life and relationship with Christ changed. And then my lifestyle for Christ changed. My life is so much different than it was 41 years ago. Trust me. Amen. My thinking about Christ has changed tremendously over the years. Now, Jesus tells us that they're necessary for us to be converted. It's a commandment of God. In Matthew 18 and 3, Jesus said these words, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." When conversion takes place, it simply means something in your life has changed. If there's no change in your life, there's no conversion. Case in point, John Doe over here. And we got plenty of Johns that ain't none of them, okay? John Doe over here gets saved. But guess what? John Doe still keeps going to work, telling his filthy jokes, using profanity on the job, lusting after women, and after work goes out to drink with the boys. Has anything changed in John Doe's life? No. So therefore, according to Scripture, there's been no conversion. Now, John Doe number two goes over here. He gets saved. And guess what? He goes to work the next day. He's not cussing. He goes to work, he's not telling dirty stories, and he's not lusting after women on the job. And when the boys come around, "Hey, John, we're going out for a beer. You want to go?" "No." "Why not?" "Because I'm saved. I've got converted." You see what I'm saying? When you're converted, there is a process that takes place in your life. If there's no change, guess what? I doubt very seriously there's been any salvation in your life. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? But it's the truth. Good old friend of mine used to say, "It's tight, but it's right." Think about it. Before our conversion, we were enslaved under a taskmaster called Satan. Every one of us were born into sin. But guess what? Once we get converted, I like this part. Once we get converted, Brother Jerry, I'm no longer a taskmaster to the devil. I'm no longer a slave to him. Guess what? I am a child of the King. Amen. Before conversion, we were slaves to sin. And now we're servants of righteousness. Amen. Before we were saved, we were in the darkness. But now, guess what? We're in the light. Amen. Think about it. Matter of fact, we were children of darkness, but praise be unto God, we're now the children of light. Because we've been converted, everything around us has changed. I didn't understand it when I first got saved. I was in high school and went back to school, and my teacher was mad at me because I didn't fall asleep in her class that day. She walked up, grabbed me by the back of my long hair, and said, "Are you on drugs or something?" Slapped it back down. I said, "No, wait a minute, I was just getting my thoughts together." Why? "Because I'm saved." "You're what?" "Saved." She was an atheistic daughter of a Methodist preacher. She was raised Methodist all her life, but she didn't believe in God. And all of a sudden, she just thought it was her God-given right to attack me verbally in class. And as she did, one by one, kids in the class were, "Hey, wait a minute. We're Christians too. You want to talk bad about us?" You know, all of a sudden she realized she was outnumbered, and she just hushed her mouth and went and sat down and gave up. You see, what we need to understand is something. When you really get saved, there's a passage of Scripture that becomes very real to you. It should be Isaiah 55 and 7. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will be abundantly pardoned." Can you imagine that? He's saying, let that wicked person, let that unsaved person, let them experience conversion, and when they do, guess what? They're going to experience the unlimited grace and mercy of Almighty God. Amen? I am thankful today that I was able to return unto the Lord. Amen. I've been raised in it all my life. I hated going to church. I hated being in the pew. I hated being there, being made to go. I've heard people say, "I don't go to church because I was made to go." You know, the odds of you not going to church after you've been made to go all your life as a child are very few. You know why? Because the Bible said, train up a child in the way that it should go, and guess what? It will not depart from it. It might go out there and raise Cain for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but eventually, those seeds that you planted in that little child, those seeds, every time they were sick, they come running to you for prayer. Guess what? Those seeds will reach fruition, and they will call on the name of the Lord in their hour of need. And guess what? God will hear them. Why? Because of his grace and mercy. Amen. He's teaching us to let the wicked forsake his way. Whose way? His way. His thoughts, and turn back to the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you're constantly thinking about the past, if you're constantly thinking about what you used to be, you need to get in the altar and say, "God, wipe it free and clean once and for all." Amen. The devil will remind you of your past, but you need to remind him of his future. It ain't going to be long, honey. He's going to be bound and cast into a pit, and I'm going to have ringside seats and laugh at him all day long. Now who's the big shot? Nah. Makes me sick. I don't like him. He's done a lot of damage to a lot of friends of mine and to family. I want to see him get his due. So, amen, I might push you out of the way, but I'm going to see that dude get wrapped up, tangled up, and thrown in the pit for 1,000 years. Then they're going to let him loose. Then he's really going to get it, amen? Getting nailed big time. That ought to make you shout, y'all. Come on now. Proverbs 16 and 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Can I just tell you something? If I ever call you and ask you if you're all right and you're backslidden, don't say I'm okay. That's one thing that just irritates me to no end. I was talking to somebody about a person that I was praying for. "Well, preacher, they're okay." How can you be okay and never be in church? How can you be okay and never darken the door? How can you be okay and never read the Bible, but every time church is going on, you're somewhere else? That don't sound like you love God to me. I made a statement last Sunday, and I refuse to back up off of it. Whatever keeps you out on church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, or any other time we come together like revival, is your God. Softball tournament's on a Sunday. And boy, they'll go out there and they'll hoop and they'll holler and act stupid. Come to church and sit like a knot on a log. When I go to a ball game, trust me, you'll know I'm there. I whoop and I holler. When my granddungans are playing ball, Hayden was the first round draft pick in Crestview, Florida for her ball team. And she was so excited, she called me, "Pat Ball, guess what? I was the last one to be tested, but I'm the first one to get picked." She said, "Isn't that cool?" I said, "Yeah." You think I'm going to sit here and let her play ball and me not get to see a couple games this year? Wrong answer. I'll show you how quick that truck can drive to Florida. All 800 miles of it. And I'll cry every time I fill up with gas. But I'm going to get to see that grandbaby. Amen. And Brother Boone, when I'm out there, guess what? She's going to hit that ball. She's hitting balls in practice just as good as she can be. And guess what? I'm going to go, yay! That's my grandbaby. That's my little girl. But now if I can do that, why can't I do that in church? That's my Jesus they were singing about this morning. That's my Jesus they sang about tonight. That's my Jesus that when I need a comforter, he's my comforter. When I need a healer, he's my healer. That's my Jesus I'm talking about. That's my Jesus. Woo. Some of you just don't get it. But one day you will. And when he gets a hold of you, just let go and bust loose and have church all by yourself. Hey, man, I make no apologies for the worship of the Rice Family Church of God. I was on the minister's channel the other night and some idiot, now that's all I can call him is an idiot, asked the question, is it proper to run in church? Long as God's in it. Run, baby, run. Amen. Sometimes the writer says, it feels like fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. I'm here to tell you tonight, I can't contain it. If somebody takes off running, I might just have to follow them. Why? Because I feel God, the healer's in the house. Let me tell you something. When we really get converted, let me get back on target for a minute here. Our relationship with Christ involves two things. And Pentecostals don't like one of them, I'm going to get ready to tell you. Well, probably don't like both of them. In Pentecost, I'm going to be honest with you. We've confused shouting, running, screaming, hollering, being as loud as we can with the presence of God, the move of God. Let me tell you where we have missed the mark. There needs to come a time in the church of God that we learn of him. You know what? I've been married, this August will make 38 years. And I've learned a lot about that lady I'm married to. And she knows a lot about me, and Lord, she could write a book. But let me tell you something. I had to learn her. Sometimes I say things just picking that I know I can get away with, and there's other things I know I can't get away with, so I shut up. But what I want you to see is this. You can't have a strong relationship with Christ until you learn and to listen to him. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto yourselves. You know why we're a stressed out church? We ain't learned nothing about the Master. I'm here to tell you, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me every step of the way. How could a young lady like Kathy Isaacs face death like she did? Because she knew God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three in one, were right inside of her. Yeah. I want to tell you something. It's a learning thing. Bible says there are those who are ever learning but never come to knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3 and 7. We have more knowledge in this generation, they tell me, than any other generation in the history of man. We've educated ourselves right out of the kingdom of God. God help me for what I'm getting ready to say, but I will not apologize. There was a day in the church of God we had men with 6th, 7th, and 8th grade educations. Could preach it as hot, so hot you couldn't stand it. And they would run to the altars of God. Some might be lucky to have a high school education. Didn't have a lot of formal training. But you know what? They knew him. when they weren't working a secular job trying to feed their family so they could keep on preaching, guess what? They were getting in that word, learning of Him. Amen. Learning of Him. I want to tell you something. I love to sit around some of the old church fathers and just listen to them and learn from them. I used to love to have little encounters with Brother Dewey Wright. Brother Harold, your dad taught me a lot about people and loving people. Brother Lacey Todd over here. I've sat down and we've had some great conversations, some great insight, and he's helped me so much about learning about this Lord. You see, we need to understand something. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with education. But an education will not call you. You can have a Doctor of Divinity degree and can't preach your way out of a paper bag. A wet paper bag. Thank you, James. You just don't get it. It's not a daddy or granddaddy called thing. It's a God called thing. Amen. And so we need to understand that. We need to train ourselves. We need to educate ourselves in who Jesus is. Amen. So many people have forgotten the God of the Bible. They've got all these fixations about Him. You know, it's sad to say that people in the church know more about worldly things than they do godly things. I met a little fellow not long ago. His dad was so proud of him. He could tell me the starting lineup of the Atlanta Falcons. What an accomplishment. Preacher's son now, but couldn't tell me five of the 12 disciples. Something wrong with the training there. Think about it. We need to train them in the things of God. The other day, my grandson said, "Hey, Papa, want me to sing you a song?" I said, "Not really. I wasn't in the mood to hear it." He said, "But how about if I sing you a song about God?" I said, "I'll hear it. You going to sing about God? I want to listen." And he sang me his little song about God, and I thought it was so cute. And I said, "That's cool. That's good. I want them to know the things of God." Yeah. Amen. These children are special. Amen. I looked over here today. Every time I looked over here, there was three cars, Rheta's, Sonia's, and Jason's up there. And they were working them youngins to death today. Kids, I know y'all be glad to see teen talent come and gone, won't you? Hey, man, get Sundays back to yourself. Amen. But they've worked them hard, you know. I mean, I come in one day just to watch them. And, you know, Rheta's back there like a drill instructor. And Sonia's back there like a drill. "Now you messed up. Do it again." I'm like, poor youngins. You know, what are they trying to teach them? Teach them that whatever you do for God, you give it 100%. Amen. How are we going to listen to Him? John chapter 10 tells us, Jesus says, "My sheep will know my voice." Do you know the voice of God? I've actually had people come into my office. Now, this is something that blows me away. And they'll come in, "Pastor, somebody told me to do something the other day, and I couldn't tell if it was God or the devil." You got a problem. He said, "My sheep shall know my voice." Amen. It's not some spirit out there going to tell you to do right. It's God. Amen. And sometimes people will say, "Well, you know, this voice keeps speaking to me to do this and this and this." And I'll look at them and say, "That's not even in biblical. The things this spirit's telling you to get involved in and do are really anti-Christ spirits. You need to leave it alone. You need to get on your face before God and say, 'God, cleanse my mind. That's where the battlefield for my soul is going. God, cleanse me and trust, help me to trust you and take it your word.'" If we're truly converted, if we're truly born again, we will know the Master's voice. I went to the funeral of a dear friend of mine last year. His daughter, no, my goddaughter, I had not seen close to 20 years. Sad. And I was talking in a big funeral home. And all of a sudden, this little curly-headed girl comes running at me, and she throws her, "Uncle Marvin, how you doing?" She kissed me on the cheek. "How'd you know it was me? You ain't seen me since you was little." "Ah." She said, "I would know that voice anywhere." That's cool. And another girl, my best friend that passed away, his daughter came up to me. She said, "I knew it was you." I said, "How? We haven't seen each other in years." She said, "By your voice." You know what? That's what Jesus was saying. "My sheep will know my voice." Isn't that neat that we can know Him that intimately? The second thing that's going to be affected in your conversion is your lifestyle for Christ. Verse 22 says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If we live our lives for the Lord, then guess what? We got to get rid of the old lifestyle that's opposed to godly living. I get so amazed at people sometimes. They'll tell me they're saved, and I'm looking at them thinking, you're still doing the same old stuff. How can you be saved? And people will tell me, well, I didn't know this was wrong. Why don't you know it's not wrong? Well, nobody's ever told me. You know how I find out what's right and wrong? In the book. You know the problem with the church of today? Most of them don't read this. You wait till you get to church and trust I'm reading King James Version and not some other version so you'll know you can relate to it. But I've got probably 20 different versions in my library. I just use this one the most. I've got three main versions that I use. But I keep this one because it's got that and my favorite one with it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. How do you expect to grow in the graces of God unless you get into that lifestyle of having a new conversation, doing things differently? Listen to what he says in Colossians 3, verses 7 through 10. In the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Listen to all these things he says you're to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Say that word with me, knowledge. After the image of him that created him. Now the NIV says it this way. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. In that same verse, in verse 22 of Ephesians, the Living Bible says this, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Throw it off. It's on, right? He says, throw it off. Now, two things. Number one, I'm too old to go over there and pick that back up. And number two, if I've thrown it off and it's rotten and nasty, ew, I ain't going to pick it back up again. Come on now. That makes sense. Some folks in their Christianity, their conversion, as they call it, are like yo-yos. They're up and down, up and down, up and down, in and out. They'll get saved. You might not see them again for 6 months. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I was like my daddy. Every time the doors were open, I wanted to be in the house of God. There's something wrong with your conversion if you don't want to be in the house of God. Last Sunday, I preached pretty straight, about as straight as I can preach it. And y'all had a little fun with me on that Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's all right. I'll get you one day. But that's okay. But think about it. It was sincere. And the people that were involved were sincere. You know, I'm proud of Brother Robert and Susan. There's other things I could tell you, but I ain't. He'll have to tell you about what God's doing in his life. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. We need to understand something. If we throw off the old evil nature, we don't need to go pick it back up again. The bottom line is that we're to live lives that are free from corruption and sin. And guess what? That will enhance our relationship with God. How many of you want to have a deep relationship with God? Let me see your hand. Amen. The third area that's going to be affected by our conversion is our mind, our thinking. Verse 23. Somebody read verse 23 out loud for me, real loud. Who's got the biggest mouth in the house? Oh, that didn't come out right. Who's got the loudest voice in the house? Let's do it that way. Hattie, read that verse for me. Verse 23. Think about that. Thank you, Hattie. And don't y'all ever call her a big mouth again. Amen. Before we were saved, can I just tell you something? You couldn't think right. Our minds were polluted by corruption of the sinful nature. And the Bible has a lot to say about the mind of the believer. And I want to share a couple things with you. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. I'm going to read these. I don't want you to miss this. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Say this with me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. So help me God, I thank God for the renewal of the mind. What's wrong with the church? We want to be lords. I didn't get called to be a lord. I got called to be a servant of the Most High God, a humble man of faith and means. To God be the glory. That's what's wrong with the church. It's what's wrong with the ministry of today. Oh, we've arrived. Kids graduate MIP and they think if it ain't self-supporting, if it don't have a full benefit, it ain't called for them to be there. That's garbage. The gentleman that was with Brother Mike this morning asked me, he said, how's it going? I said, considering we started with 14 people 8 years ago and we got right at 80 today, and a lot of them are out sick, and others are at the hospitals, and others are doing this and that. We're doing pretty good. 50 tonight. I won't be able to come down from this high for a few days, y'all. Somebody said, you're preaching different. Give me a crowd, and I preach different. I can't help it. You say, what's the difference? It's because there's more faith in the house. Yes, amen. Now, you hear me, what I'm getting ready to say. You ever notice when mama's cooking, and she's just cooking for one or two? Pretty basic stuff, ain't it, guys? But you let the youngins be coming home. And the grand youngins come home. My wife, she'll fix two pork loins, mashed potatoes and gravy, and garlic bread, salad, and dessert. And I'm like, man, I love it when the youngins come home. The next week, I might be the only one there with her. Say what, baby? What'd she say? Hot dogs and chili. Honest to goodness. I've ate so many hot dogs the last 2 weeks, I'm about sick of them. I feel like I'm a Kaiser roll, amen. Don't say I look like it, please. I know. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. Serving God, church, I'm going to tell you, it's fun. I am having the time of my life. I've got prayer warriors behind me that just encourage me. Brother Kessiker, he'll say things that just help me. He said, I felt like I was a sponge this morning, just drinking everything in. I like that. That's what I want. A group of people that say, Pastor, I don't want you to tickle my ears. I don't want you to tell me this feel-good religion. I want to hear the truth. You see, I want to know. Brother Todd, God's getting ready to do some things here. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. They're in operation in our church right now. In people's lives. People are impacting people outside these walls. And everywhere we're going, people are, they're hearing about our church. The other day, the two guys that we interviewed through WCT, we took them some food. They were out of food. They had new people come to camp. And they didn't know what to do, so we took them more food. And the one fellow said, Preacher, he said, I feel like a rock star since I got hooked up with you. I said, why? He said, people are telling me, you know, they're trying to give him a job. They're trying to talk to him about, you know, can you really handle it if I give you a job? And all this, guess what? If that happens, I'm going to be a happy fella. Why? Because we had a part in that. And when they do get out of the woods, we've had a part in that. But until they do, we've got to keep discipling. We've got to keep giving them the word. And he said, you know, he said, can I tell you something, Pastor? He said, I thank God for you every single day I live. You see, we're impacting people that some of you might never meet. But guess what? That's okay. That's what ministry's about. When we give out food to people, that's what it's about. It's helping them to see Jesus in our lives. I don't want to be one of these pompous, arrogant preachers. I've met some, boy, they act like they're doing you a favor if they even speak to you or shake your hand. Then they go wipe it off. Crazy mess. I'm one of you. Amen. I'm called to be your shepherd. You know what I learned when I was in Ohio? One of our neighbors had sheep. He was a shepherd. You know what he taught me? When his sheep hurt, he hurt. When they rejoiced, he rejoiced. Amen. When a little lamb was born into the fold, guess what? That was a happy fella. Amen. He was seeing dollar signs, but he was seeing blessings of God. You know, and I asked him one time, I said, why do you care for these dumb animals? You got to make them eat. You got to make them drink. You got to make them do everything. He said, but when I look at them, I picture them without me, dirty, starving, lonely, and lost. But with me, they're okay. What are you saying, preacher? With Jesus, we're going to be all right. With Jesus, we're going to make it. They can talk recession all they want to. They can talk depression all they want to. They can talk about wars and rumors of war all they want to. God's still in control. You hear me? God's still in control. Think about it. Converted. Changed. How many of you know people that tell you they're Christians, but they ain't no different than the world? You need to tell them they've missed something. They've missed the real thing. When you get changed, this changes. Our minds are not centered upon ourselves, but others. He tells us that in the Scripture. Not to be molded by the pressure of the world around us. Our minds are to be molded through God's Word and God's Spirit. Can I ask you a question, a little fun question, not to embarrass you? How many of you ever started to do something you knew you weren't supposed to? And a little voice said, better not do that. You ever had that happen? But you did it anyway. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. And then didn't you regret it? My dad told me to do something one time. And I said, no, I ain't going to do it. Later on he said, did you do what I told you to do? Nope. I regretted it. Boy, did I ever regret it. What are you saying, Pastor? There are things we are to know to do. The Bible says if you know to do right and don't do it, guess what? You've sinned. Got to get this under control. Let it be molded by the Spirit. It said in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You come down here and you get saved. That's cool. But remember, salvation is the beginning of the conversion process. And then he tells you to renew your mind. Renewing the mind. So guess what that means, renewing? It means an ongoing thing. In other words, I'm to constantly be getting in the Word. I'm to constantly think on the things of the Holy Ghost. I'm to constantly think on the things that God wants me to do. Notice what he said in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think about? Think about trying to get away with sin? Thinking on the wrong thing. Thinking about that next drink you get to take? Thinking on the wrong thing. Thinking about that lady on the job who's living with, married to somebody and you're trying to break up their marriage, you're thinking on the wrong thing. Amen. Think about it. In closing tonight, I want to encourage you. How are we going to make it? How are we going to stay on this thing of conversion? Paul said it simply, crucify the flesh daily. Every morning I start off my day, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And then I break into my prayer for the lost souls of our 126. And I start asking God to do miracles. But you know what I ask God before I quit? I ask God to introduce me to at least one person that day that I can personally tell them about Jesus. They might never darken my door, but I want to tell them about my Jesus. That's crucial to me. Amen. And I believe that God's going to honor something. You see, the neat thing, you've heard me tell how people will write and they'll say, if you'll lighten up, God will fill your church. I don't believe that. Brother Todd, I believe the stricter I get and the more in line I get with that word, I believe God's going to send people that are hungry for that word. The last few new people that have been coming to our church, you know what they tell me they like about our church? They hear more word here than they've heard in a long time. They hear the truth here. And you know what? That's what I want us to be about, because that's what's going to get us to heaven. Now, I can get up like some and never read you a scripture, never convict you or condemn you of anything or anything like that, make you always feel good when you leave. But when the rapture takes place and your feet don't leave the ground, you'd be pointing a finger at me, because I'd be stuck here with you. My mom said something to me this week, and it really blew me away. She said, son, I don't say this very often because I think you know it as a fact. She said, I love you, and I'm proud of you, because you preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, you know, the other day, she said, I was praying for you, and God told her why I preach this truth. Because if I don't, I'm going to stand before him in judgment. I want to tell you something. I don't want to stand before him and say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. Brother Harold, I long to hear those words. Your daddy's heard them. Your mama's heard them. My grandmother and grandfather before me have heard them. Well done. Come on in. Church, any day now, Jesus could hear the words from the Father. Go get your bride. It's time. I've seen enough. It's time. Would you stand with me tonight? Conversion means change. Have you really changed? Have you really changed? Some of you I've worked more intimately with than others, trying to get you to where I think God wants you to be. And you know what? I can truly say, every one of you that I've had to work that hard with, I've seen change. And you know what? A lot of times I've not had to say a word. You've just come in and said, Pastor, to get closer to God, this is what God's laid on my heart. This is what I've done. What you think? Boy, my head gets about that big. And I thank God every time it happens, because it touches my heart to know we're on the right path. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. There are 50 of you here tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. If that trump of God were to sound right now, do you know that you would go to be with us in the air with the Lord? Or is there some little thing in your life you've been hiding from God, been hiding from me, been hiding from the church? Maybe your best friend doesn't even know. Maybe your spouse doesn't know where you are with God. Let me tell you something. God knows. Somebody said on the day of the rapture there are going to be a lot of surprises. I don't think so. Most of us know where we're living. Am I right? I hear people all the time, some of them on that list, tell me, Preacher, you keep praying. One day I'm coming. And you know what I tell them right back in love? I just hope it's not the day after I'm gone. Are you ready to see Jesus? Have you really been converted? Has He really made a change in your life? I've never preached this series of messages in 25 years of pastoring till this year. And I believe it's laying the groundwork for the rest of this year for us to see the harvest come in. But I want to ask you tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around or moving around, are you really rapture ready? Are you really ready? If Jesus were to come tonight, right now, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, do you know for a fact you would go? Or is there some doubt in your mind? Maybe you've heard the messages of the last few weeks and months, and you realize maybe there's some shortfalls in your life that need to be straightened out. You need to entrust them to God. Then tonight, this altar is open for you. It's not saying that you're backslidden. It's just saying you're trying to make sure that everything is in its right perspective with God, and that there's no fault there, that there's no injustice there, that you are what God wants you to be. Very sincere invitation. It's an invitation that could mean the difference between heaven or hell for you. But it's got to be your call. Got to be your call. All right. All 50 of us going by way of rapture right now. Boom. We're gone. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be great. If you were left in that moment, my keys are in this pocket. Okay? I love you. I do not apologize for anything I've preached the last 2 months, or really ever, to this congregation. God is getting ready to unleash heavenly blessings our way. And I'm telling you, we haven't even seen that much of what God really wants to do for us. We're going to see it this year. We're going to see some things happen this year that will make you want to shout, make you want to run, make you enjoy the blessings of God. Brother Lacey Todd, would you dismiss us in prayer?